Y'all, Laura Engel and I, we recorded last week, and now we've got breaking news, so we had to come back together to brief y'all on what has happened out of Oklahoma. Arrests have been made of four people, and Laura Engel's going to be here live again to break this all down. So y'all just hang on. Part two starts right now. So Laura, you have laid it out for us because, again, you have been there in person, boots on the ground, but now we have got breaking news that they have arrested four people. Tell us who has been arrested.
Well, we have got a stunning turn of events. We've long been talking about the idea that a family member could have been involved in the disappearance of these two women because of the bitter custody battle. And in fact, mm-hmm. Grandma, the woman that we had been talking about all along, is in fact one of the four that was arrested, Tiffany Adams and her boyfriend, Tad, and their friends, Cole and Cora Twombly, who live in the general area of where Tiffany Adams lived. And we did hear that bodies have been found, but we are being kept, there's not a lot of details yet in terms of exactly what happened. But now the devastating probable cause affidavit lays out some items that were found near the car of where Veronica Butler's SUV that she was driving in with Jillian Kelly. There are devastating items that we did not know about. And, the OSBI has been keeping us in the dark, obviously for good reason. But we're hearing about stun guns. We're hearing about that Veronica Butler's glasses were found on the side of the road, pools of blood. That there were burner phones that were purchased. There's a lot going on here that really paint a different picture.
It absolutely paints the picture of a conspiracy. There's no doubt about it. And you and I talked not just while you were live from Oklahoma, but we also had a chance to be together in New York at the Hamptons whodunit over the weekend. And it was so unbelievable to me. You and I were in a session where Joe Scott Morgan was speaking, and he was speaking about a case where the grandmother was the mastermind of killing other family members, and the motive was the children. And you and I just looked at each other because we're like, that's what we've been saying. When you're looking at means, motive, and opportunity, the biggest motive here are those children. You don't fight with anybody for 9 years, unless it's something you're willing to, go to the wall and through the fire for.
We have been, longer than I have, but being an investigator, just the stories that we hear over and over again about, I was talking to a private investigator in Oklahoma, and she was telling me about the long list of things that she deals with, which is many. And she said the single most violent thing that we handle in our office with our investigators is child custody. It's over my dead body. You will not get this child. And it sounds like that's the mentality laid out. There's a lot of information in this probable cause affidavit for the arrest warrants. We've got to do a hat tip, and I'm sure that you'll get there as we read through this, that it was a family member, the daughter of Cora Twombly, the friends. So there's Tiffany Adams and her boyfriend, Tad, and then there's this couple that they're friends with. And it was the daughter, CW is the daughter of Cora Twombly and Kobe White. It sounds like was a key player in giving investigators information about this case.
And Laura, she's 16 years old.
It's unbelievable.
You've got these four people that came together and conspired to kill somebody in order to get that person's children. And the sad part is now those children have none of these people. And when you have a mob mentality and you say things like tasers and burner phones and blood evidence, that would suggest to me that what happened there was chaotic and violent, and that's why people couldn't keep up with all the things that they brought with them, and things were left behind, not on purpose, but because it was just chaos. You probably had, you know, two of the people screaming at the victims, and the victims are screaming and they're tussling and things are happening. So it's no shock to me the glasses were off. I think, and tell me what you think from reading the affidavit as well, but I think they might have possibly bum rushed them a little bit. And whenever things went down, somebody was tased, somebody might have been punched and hit. So there was blood evidence. But I think they were actually murdered at another place, a separate location.
You know, we originally thought that something happened there on that side of the road. And I was telling you about it, and I've been reporting on it, that Road L and Highway 95, when we heard that the vehicle was found there, you know, we thought it was right there at the intersection, just kind of off the main highway, but Road L, it was 1,000 feet in. So that's where the vehicle was found. But I just want to read just one part of this. On April 1st, this is the probable cause affidavit, that OSBI agents obtained a search warrant for Adams' cellular phone, and OSBI agents performed an extraction on the device. Information gained from the device included web searches for taser pain level, gun shops, prepaid cellular phones, and how to get someone out of their house. But the taser pain level, somebody wanted to know, she wanted to know, according to investigators, this is what is in black and white in front of us in this multi-page affidavit, that she searched taser pain level. Why?
Torture, in my opinion. Laura, if you've got four people that are armed with a firearm, or two, and you've got two women with no weapons, that's easy to take control of those folks. All you got to do is stick the gun in their face. They're going to do whatever you say to do. If you tell them, we've got your children at another location, if you don't get in this car, whoever's with your children are going to kill them. They would have gotten the car. Easy. That taser, in my opinion, was to torture, was to control them early, make them do what they were told and get in the truck. But again, that wasn't necessary. You didn't have to have it. When you hear law enforcement during the press conference, he used the word brutal. It was a brutal scene. Well, that ain't a single gunshot to the chest. Brutal, to me, signifies multiple injuries.
There are indications here in this affidavit as well that, you know, the father, Wrangler Rickman, who was in the court-appointed drug rehab at the time of this apparent ambush, he had told his grandmother, Debbie Knox Davis, named in the affidavit, that in mid to late February, Rickman told her they weren't going to have to worry about the custody battle much longer, because, quote, Adams had it under control, and that Adams knew the path the judge walked to work, and, quote, we will take out Veronica at drop off. He was, you know, it states that he was in the rehabilitation facility in Oklahoma City at the time of the disappearance. The children had remained in the custody of Adams, and then Rickman denied having that conversation with Knox. So it sounds like Debbie Knox Davis talked, and then they went back to Rickman and he said, I didn't have that conversation. But that's what the other grandma had to say, was that Adams had said, we're going to take Veronica at drop off, take her out. And that was in February.
There's no way I'm ever going to believe that people were fighting over children for 9 years and there ain't threats all over creation. When you and I were in New York, we did a short video that you put out where we talked about the electronic devices are going to be a money tree. They bought things. They talked about buying things. They talked about how they were going to get together. They talked about burner phones. They looked up burner phones. But this was not the first plan that they put together to kill this victim. Back in February, they had a plan to kill her. Tell everybody what that was about.
I mean, according to this affidavit, CW, the daughter of Cora Twombly, remember, 16 years old, has apparently told investigators, because it's right here in the affidavit, that she talked to her mom about what happened. And she said, it says, CW asked Cora what happened and was told things did not go as planned, but they would not have to worry about her, Butler, again. CW was told that Cora and Cole blocked the road to stop Butler and Kelly and divert them to where Adams, Cullum, and Grice were. So there's some other names here. But to your point about another plan, CW also disclosed that other attempts to kill Butler occurred during February of 2024 near Hewittown, Kansas, in which Adams, Cullum, Cole, Cora, and Grice, as a big group here, went to Butler's home. So this group of adults went to the home of Veronica Butler, and they were trying to figure out how to get her out of their house because, according to Cora, the plan was to throw an anvil through Butler's windshield while she was driving to make it look like an accident because anvils regularly fall off of work vehicles.
Now, I want y'all to understand what is happening. We have confirmation through this paperwork that in February, they were plotting and planning a murder to make it look like she's just driving down the road and something fell off a work truck, went through her windshield and killed her. What we have here is, oh, they might have been having car trouble, pulled off the side of the road. Who in the world would have got them? That's what it almost looks like. Their plans, obviously, I mean, I think it's an understatement when she says, well, it didn't go as planned. No kidding. But my concern here is you've listed names of people that have not been arrested yet. We don't know how wide this is going. We don't know how many people have information of other murder plots that maybe they just, for whatever reason, couldn't do those either. Because in 9 years, they're just now going to kill her. That tells me that they believed they were going to lose custody back to her at the court date that was coming up this week.
And let me ask you this, Cheryl. I want to ask you a question. I am looking at, I'm surprised that this affidavit has so many names in it that's not redacted. I mean, these people's names are out there. They live in that town. We've been talking about what it's like out there. I mean, is this unusual to have all these names listed?
Listen, you're talking about a town of 281 people. They already know. They already know. There were people in the town that knew when you were there. You knew it. There were people that probably didn't want to talk because they knew these folks to be violent. They knew maybe there was going to be some retribution if they came forward. That's why I'm stunned about the 16-year-old. What a hero in this whole thing.
Absolutely.
And I hope they're telling her that every minute. I hope her biological father and his family are supporting her and bragging on her because she did something there's a whole lot of grown people in that town that hadn't done. And I'm going to tell you, everybody that was involved in this conspiracy, all of February, all of March, we're now into April 15th, and not one of them stopped it. Not one of them said, y'all, we're out of bounds here. You know, it was fine last night. We were all drinking and mad. And yes, we want you to have the children, but we can't kill that woman. And we certainly can't kill a second one that had nothing to do with any of the fights that the family's been having. She's not even a family member. She don't even live in Oklahoma. But not one of those people stopped it. In my opinion now, if you're going to have the death penalty, this is the kind of case you use it for.
And to take it another level, CW, and I mean, my heart is racing fast just thinking about being in her shoes. And CW asked about Kelly, Jillian Kelly, the pastor's wife. Asked her mom, it sounds like, and asked why she had to die. And she was told by Cora that she wasn't innocent either, and she had supported Butler. CW asked Cora if their bodies were put in a well, and Cora replied, something like that. You're 16? What were you doing at 16? I know I wasn't having these kinds of conversations.
I mean, was trying to find Walt McCollum wherever he was. Are you kidding?
I mean, this is incredible.
Nothing like this to deal with. Are you joking? It was, when is Walt going to show up in his cutlass and what time is the football game and what's everybody wearing? That was it. This 16-year-old has more than likely been exposed to a whole lot, heard a whole lot. I don't know how they got to her, if she told her dad and her dad called the police or if she called law enforcement. I don't know. But again, she's the hero in this thing to me.
And further to the devious potential that is in this affidavit, when you and I were talking, the court had approved 4 people to be supervisors of these child custody visitations. And Jillian Kelly's on the list. She was the last person on the list. And there was another person that was the favorite, Cheryl Bruhn. And we want to hear from her at some point and see what she has to say. But this court document says that Tiffany Adams had told her to take a few weeks off.
Wow.
Go ahead and take a few weeks off. You're not needed. And Cheryl Bruhn has since been interviewed, apparently, and has said that she was available. So if your name is on that list, if you're Cheryl Bruhn or the other 2 women of the 4.
100%. 100%. Yeah,
right.
Could have been you.
Could have been you.
Do we know who had the children during the actual murders?
It says here that the incident happens on Saturday. Adams told the OSBI that on Friday night, March 29th, 2024, Rickman and Butler's children stayed the night with Barrett and Lacey Cook. Adams said she planned to pick them up that morning before visitation. Adams said she called Butler at 0900 hours to confirm the meeting, and Butler told Adams something came up and she was not going to make it. That's Adams talking to the police. So Butler's phone records confirmed the call occurred. However, at the time of the call, Butler was in Hugoton, Kansas, in the process of picking Kelly up to go meet Adams. So it says Adams picked the children up before 12 o'clock from the Cook's residence. So however the time shakes out, they were at a couple's house named Barrett and Lacey Cook.
Okay. So they had the children placed. They had their favorite go-between out of the way. She had the alibi for her son because he was in rehab. So they thought they had planned this whole thing out so beautifully. And they didn't think the babysitter was going to talk to the other folks, much less the other people on the list that, you know, could do the exchange. They thought they did this really well. The problem is, the very first time you and I talked off the record, it was just you and I on the phone. It was a short walk to look at Grandma. In my opinion, even as soon as I heard it, and you and I were saying, look, you go from a town of 1,800 people to a town of 268 people. Your suspect pool is going to be tiny. And then you start thinking, how many people would know about the exchange? Well, Grandma would know, the mama would know, the court-appointed person would know, and then maybe a biological dad, maybe, you know, the boyfriend. I mean, you're talking about less than 6 people that would have known this. And then when you told me where the car was and you described it so beautifully, I'm like, that's more than one person. That's more than one person that pulled that off. There's no way, if these folks are at the gas station or you're bum rushing 2 people, you're not going to drive that car somewhere different. You're not going to do it.
And what do you think, Cheryl, in all of your years of expertise of doing this? Like, so they do it, and then we'll get to where, you know, we don't have the exact location of where these women are believed. You know, it hasn't been confirmed and it might be confirmed here any second. But they carry on with their lives. Did they go, you know, did Tiffany go and get the children? I want to read you from Cole Twombly's Facebook page 3 days ago. A big thank you for all the wonderful birthday wishes. Got to dance in the front yard with the lovely and gracious Cora Twombly, have cake, and share the evening with our new daughter-in-law.
Okay, here's my opinion. The mother of your grandchildren is missing. The best thing that's going to come from it is she's run off with somebody, which means she has abandoned her own children. And you're worried about your birthday dancing with anybody? The worst thing that's going to happen is somebody kidnapped her, and we know the ending. If it had turned out to be a trucker, a transient person, right? They're not going to keep her, not alive. So to me, his birthday even crossing his mind is suspect.
Well, or is it an alibi, you know, just to everything's fine. I was having a birthday and I wasn't involved.
Oh, absolutely. That's what he's trying to portray. But I'm saying the reality I just met your precious puppy, Bailey. If something, Bailey ran off, y'all couldn't find Bailey. Are you going to post about your birthday? So I'm just telling you, people give themselves away. Just like when Grandma, as mad as she has been for 9 years about this girl, she's no good. She's no good for my son. She's no good for the grandchildren. I am better for those grandchildren than their own mama. You know, she says things like, just imagine, you know, she don't keep house. She don't cook for them. She don't take them to school on time. You know, she's critical, right? So within 5 minutes of her not meeting her to pick those children up, she should have been on the phone with the court losing her mind. I told y'all she wasn't no good. She's sorry. She's trash. She didn't even come get these children on this baby's birthday. Remember, it was one of the children's birthday. So when she didn't call complaining and she didn't text everybody, especially the victim, and she didn't call the go-between, y'all are both sorry. Y'all are both good for nothing. This baby's sitting here crying, not celebrating her birthday. That didn't happen, Laura. She gave herself away. Let's talk about law enforcement for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
OSBI, the FBI, the Oklahoma State Patrol, multiple sheriff's departments.
The KBI as well.
Oh, yes. They were involved as well. Thank you. They did a magnificent job, because when you and I were at the Hamptons, you showed me the video of the tanks and everybody rolling toward Grandma's house. They knew that could have been a potential hostage situation that could have ended really badly for everybody. That could have been a devastating event. The fact that they would file these things privately, nobody knew it happened. Nobody knew anything was going down until it was in action. I think they saved a bunch of lives by doing it that way.
I agree. I think that, you know, for all the frustrating days and hours of us, you know, the members of the media calling and saying, do you have any updates? Can you tell us anything? Can you tell us what you're searching? And the answer was always, we're investigating. We will let you know when we have something, over and over and over again. And then, you know, the anchors that were, you know, every news anchor and reporters, you know, asking, why don't we hear more? And the people in the town just say, we just want something. Tell us what's going on. They can't. And time again, it's proven why.
Mm-hmm.
And our team, and a huge hat tip I want to give to my colleagues, Nancy Liu and Dana Levitt, who were on the ground along with their photographer, Nate, who were getting ready to do a live shot and saw the zoom, 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 you know, going down the street.
Oh, yeah.
And all those cars, and they got in and they followed them and they got really close, and we have the video of it. So now the world has seen how this all played out, and there were law enforcement officers on the road that had guns drawn and said, you guys need to get back now. And they did, of course. But that's how close they came, because it was all unfolding. There's no press release saying we're about to do a raid, you know, stand on the side of the street so you can watch it. It was just it was luck that day for them. And they did a fantastic job of staying safe, bringing the story. And I just can't say enough about them.
Now, that video, I was, of course, just knocked out by it, because I thought, OK, it's happening. And it is Grandma. And it looks like if she has the children, they are taking every single precaution in the world so this thing does not turn into a hostage situation where somebody's going to take everybody out. So again, nobody's going to have them if I can't have them, kind of thing. But I want everybody to know, go follow Laura Engel. She's at Laura Engel on X, and she's Laura Engel TV on Instagram. All the videos are there, and she has been boots on the ground, and she has the videos from her colleagues. And it's, I mean, I think it's the best reporting on this thing I've seen. I'm just telling you. And you have been so fantastic keeping us up to date of, you know, what all has transpired since they were reported missing. And with this new development, I'm going to give you the final word, because again, I think you said something so incredible when we were in the Hamptons that I just want you to repeat it for everybody to hear.
The most heartbreaking thing of all of this, of course, are the children that are left without their mothers. And while this has been going on for the last several weeks, you know, you wonder how much did they know? Two of them were really young. The other ones were older. And, you know, for Jillian's family, they were getting ready to move and start a new life. And the pastor had just got a new job and they were packing up, and locals told me that they were halfway already moved out of the state. So I don't know how, you know, what the final move date was going to be for the Kellys, but you just keep thinking about both women, but just that happenstance that Jillian took the ride that day. But on this day, there are six children without their mothers who are living on the planet. And now with the long list of people, not only arrested, but also implicated in this warrant, we know that there are more children, especially the hero of the story, CW, who has told law enforcement what she overheard a bunch of adults talk about and what she witnessed. And she has a brother. So, you know, now we're up to eight and probably more. But it's the children who ended up suffering and will suffer now.
I'm Cheryl McCollum, and this is Zone 7.